You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Yourself?
I'm doing fine. We're watching the market today, and I'm ready to go if you are.
We're ready.
Okay, well, great. Well, first of all, a few days back, we had listed the 1014 level as an important upside target in selling territory, and the market did reach that on the 7th of August. And the market continues to decline off of that level. I mentioned to you the other day that we were hoping for, anyway, not a really a forecast, but we were hoping for a multi-day decline off of that level. And how the market handled this decline, which we're currently in, would tell us an awful lot about the internal structure of the market. That is, whether or not there was an unusually strong bullish pressure remaining in the market. And today's session has broken down significantly. Has reached some important downside targets in our work, 992 being one of them, and it continues to test that level. Right below that level is a level at 988, which is important if tested today as well. So far today has been what we call a trend day down, and that simply means that the market has been a one-directional market with very minor upside reactions and has made new lows pretty much throughout the day and is attempting a new low here just as we're very close to the lows of the session right now. So this is good in very several ways because it means that the market is beginning to return to more normal behavior. It's not so compressed in one direction as it has been for so long, since the July 7th forecast bottom. The turning point calendar July 7th bottom had marked the bottom of this entire advance, which ran through another turning point due on July 16th, as you recall, and then achieved this 1014 level and is reacting off that. So with the market making bigger swings now, we're starting to see more normal swing trading, and that will return the market back to a more tradable market. We're also, I'm not exactly sure about this, but I think we're about halfway through or we're past the halfway point of summer, which if you take a look, you'll find that the halfway point of summer is a pretty important spot. I'm speaking kind of seasonally. It's not the exact day, but as a seasonal basis, when you get through the halfway point, you see volatility tend to pick up somewhat from that point forward. We're starting to see that now, and that's a good sign for day traders, for people who are looking for to make gains in an individual swing trade or a couple swing trades during a day. This area that we're in right now, if we hold this area, and by hold I mean if the market continues to stay above basically 990, let's just use that as the number. Worst case, we could even spike to 988, which is listed in today's support and resistance panel. But as long as we close above 990 on the hour, the natural position for the market into tomorrow's early session is for an advance to 998. So we're trading right now at 991.50, as I'm saying this, and we would look for a minimum of an advance to 998. That's a natural position. It's a little bit different than an outright forecast, but it's worth knowing, and the natural position is normally what the market will complete if they firm up at this level here. Contrary to that, if we do break down below the 988 level, hourly closes and stuff, we have, of course, we would be seeing lower prices than that, and that would take us down to 984 and 982. That would mean today is a trend day, no doubt. Trend day meaning one directional move, very minor upside reactions, and a continued trend down. If we firm up at this level again, we'll see the market advance up to a minimum natural target on the upside of 998, and that puts us into tomorrow. That target would not be due until tomorrow's early session. So this would, it would require an overnight position to really grab that. But we'll see. Let's see how they handle this level, and we'll trade it accordingly. I'd be interested to see what you're thinking with today's market as well. I did listen a little earlier, but we got carried away on a few other things. So if you have to repeat it, I hope the listeners don't mind hearing it again.
Early on the show, we said we'd be looking to sell a pullback to 994, which we got, and it turned into a nice little trade. And my thoughts are that this market today has the potential to trade down to about 985.
And that ties in with this 984, 982 level in the panel. That would be a nice, that would be a continued move. That would be a somewhat unusual because the market's ability to trend has been only in one direction, and that's on the upside recently. And it's taken longer than usual to get down to natural targets. But the fact is we've done it today, and we're testing these levels. So keep that in mind. It's a worthwhile potential trade if you're willing to do an overnight. If they continue to hold and firm here, then we could see a nice bounce and a tradable move up to a 98. Otherwise, I would agree with you that we'll likely see some of these lower prices that we're talking about. And that, again, would be potentially a trade in that direction and also a trade once they get there for a reversal. So for the time being, I think that's about it for the S&P. Let me take a look at one other quick thing while we're chatting here about the S&P. If you take a look at a daily chart, we've really broken down pretty good on a daily chart. We are having, you know, this certainly qualifies as a multi-day reaction off of 1014. And this also is going to trigger, today did trigger, a turning point bottom. I mentioned to you a few days ago that if the market declined anymore this week, that we would have a daily turning point bottom triggered. And that bottom is due tomorrow, August 12th. So we are in the one-day early period for a daily market bottom. There are a couple areas that I'd like to see. Now, I want to make sure when I explain this that it's not something that's too confusing, but let's just say that the market's going to put the bottom in on the on-time day, which is tomorrow, August 12th. Today is the 11th.
Okay.
And let's say that the market even spikes below these levels during the day tomorrow. But if the market were to close tomorrow back above 990, that plus the fact that the turning point date is the on-time date, August 12th, would be an excellent place to begin looking at your own, I'm speaking to your listeners now, look at your own indicators for the earliest sign for a reversal, whatever that might be, if you're using moving averages or whatever. Start looking to be a buyer on the long side, either during pullbacks to critical levels or upon what you might consider to be important breakouts, etc. And then hold that position until the market is able to have either an hourly close below 990 or a daily close below 990 as a protective stop. You can also use a smaller stop than that if you want, but the idea is that when the market puts a bottom in, it's going to test that level repeatedly, but the hourly close below that would really be the indication that the market's failing at that level. So that's one scenario. They hold 990 into tomorrow, even if they spike below it, and even if the spike is big, as long as they close above 990, that's good. The more preferable one, I would actually prefer to see this myself, is that we do get down to the level that Dwayne mentioned just a minute ago, which is the 985, well, for us, 984 to 982. I would actually prefer to see that reached. It may not happen. It's not a forecast for it, but I'm just saying this is what I would prefer. I'll take either one, though. If they do get down to 994, 992 and close at or above either of those levels on August 12th, I will certainly, I know our system will certainly be looking to buy for a multi-day advance off that level. The turning points are accurate within one day. It's plus or minus one unit of time. So we're looking to see how this plays out because today is the one day early. So did I explain that clear enough so that we have the 990 level, we have the 984, 982 level, either one of those touched and the hourly or daily close above between today and tomorrow would be a very good sign for a market bottom, and then a multi-day reversal to the upside, tradable for people who want to hold on the overnight, and also for intraday trades in the direction of the then current trend, which would be up at that point. So, if that makes, is that clear?
It's clear.
Okay.
I got it.
I know, but you know, when you say things like all this, a lot of times I'm so used to hearing myself talk. It sounds clear to me, but you know, sometimes it isn't. And it's totally legitimate if somebody has a question, if they want to ask it, or if somebody messages you, I'll be very happy to help them with it.
There you go, folks. If you have a question, email me or message me, ct@cfrn.net, and I'll ask him.
Okay,
I'll
very good.
David.
And then in soybeans, this is November soybeans. Let's take a look at this. This market for today, and this is actually just for today only, although it may continue beyond this point, but the forecast is just for today, that the 1038 level is selling territory. The market just made it up to 1036 here, and is trading at 1034 right now. Now, our system shorted it at 1036. So we are exiting one half of that position right now at $10.34, which is where the market is. But for people who aren't on our system, I think it's safer to exit the one half position, or to enter the position at or near 1038. And you can hold that position for any hourly close above 1039. Don't hold it any longer than that, because 1038 is an important level, both mathematically and for chart resistance. So we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to take a small loss if you are in this trade on the downside. So 1038. We took a slightly more aggressive position with this, and we do this sometimes. 1038 is the number, but we shorted it at 1036 because we have an opportunity. The market's really quiet there, too. And as you can see, when the market's very quiet and very compressed, it sometimes has difficulty reaching what could be considered natural targets. And we're taking the approach in soybeans today that they might have difficulty doing that. So we started from just a couple cents earlier, and we would be willing to sit through 2 or 3 cents of drawdown in that trade. Drawdown meaning that the position is against us by 2 or 3 cents from our entry point. Soybeans, I've said this a million times, I'll say it again, it's an old record, but it's a very easy market to read. I would really encourage people to take off some of the, let's say you use a lot of indicators and maybe chart patterns or whatever, and all those things are legitimate and can be useful. Look at soybeans. Watch how it moves. Take a look at one or two of your indicators and see if you don't find what we have found, which is that it's a market that is a much easier read than the S&P as a general rule. The S&P has some special characteristics to it that allow us to do some actually unusual things with it with regard to forecasting. But those unusual characteristics are also, it's a double-edged sword. You have to be very careful because those characteristics occur over and over again, and they might catch you off guard in a particular position. Where soybeans, as an example, doesn't have so many unusual characteristics, and because of that, it's an easier trade. So you might want to take a look at that for yourself. We went long in the S&P based on the 992 support level that is in that was listed in the panel today at 991.50, and we have a stop at 990 right now. So they've come very close to that protective stop. If we get stopped out in the market, reconfirms at or near these levels by staying above 990, then we will indeed re-enter this position for a long attempt. And for again, for people who are interested in an overnight position, always using a stop, always managing risk on the Globex, that the market would then run up to 998. But we're really only about halfway through the day, and so much can happen here. So if we do start breaking down, then we will take a different look at the market and possibly even short it as well. So for right now, I think that's everything we have.
Did you get the email I sent you on risk management?
I did, and I also got your other emails, and I appreciate all of them, and I want to review them. I did look through them, and I did see that. Yes, thank you very much.
The risk management, it's... There are good people talk about talking to themselves and whatever, but
yes.
Because I work alone, I enjoy a good laugh as much as the next person. But I don't have anyone to tell me a joke at the coffee pot or by the water cooler.
Uh-oh.
And when I got directed to that, I just sat here all alone by myself, me and the dog and the and the screens, man, and I just had a good belly laugh.
Yeah, that is really,
really
funny.
Just had a really good belly laugh. I'm gonna, for those of you out there listening, I'm gonna post it on the blog tonight so that you too can enjoy it.
Yeah, that's really funny.
It was funny.
Let's see, did I have anything else I wanted to mention?
Oh, did you get your Google app for your iPhone?
For some reason my Google app on my iPhone is not letting me get into my account, and I need to call and find out why that is.
Well, you already have a Google app on your iPhone?
No, the app that I have is the App Store. Allowing me into the App Store, and I'm assuming that's where I'd get the Google app.
Go to the free section, and then once you're in the free section, it's probably going to be one of the top rated.
Oh, okay, so what, the top 25, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, I'm sure it will be, yeah. That's how I found it, and so clever.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Now, I just want to mention this about iPhones, and for people who are listening, some people are not really tech savvy, or they're not interested even in techs. You know, we all know somebody that is not, they don't even like computers. Oh, you know, I don't want to bother. It never works, you know, and all the kind of frustration that we all had to go through in learning to use computers, et cetera. And my
we
daughter,
all realize that that is simply fear.
Yeah, that's simply fear. It's simply, it's a great example of how something great can be handed to you and you don't take it. Later, you start using it and realize how great it is and how necessary it is in your life at some point. But my daughter was like that, and she was very anti-computer, sort of almost anti-technology, not as a philosophy, but just as a for a practical matter. She just didn't want to bother. And I had told her about my iPhone. I'd showed it to her, and she never really had an interest. But I finally got her, because she was driving with a friend somewhere, and that friend had some regular phone that had a little GPS in it, GPS, the global positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was really impressed by the fact that this would allow her to know where places are and not have to struggle through traffic and all that. And so she said to me, you know, I really like the GPS on such and such friend's telephone. So we went to the Apple store and got her an iPhone, you know, this phone that you and I both have. And she, even as the guy was setting it up for her right then, she got a phone call in it, and I just saw her eyes light up when, you know, how clear it is when somebody's calling you, what the number they're calling from, how all that stuff is so brilliantly beautiful. And it just flipped her around. And she has told me on a number of occasions, one of the most satisfying things for a parent, for those of you who might not be a parent, is to hear your kids tell you that you were right about something that they were sure you were wrong about. If there's anything more satisfying than that, I'm not sure what it is in life, but she absolutely adores her iPhone. She's just enamored with it. She finds that she can use it and intuit how to get through these features on it, where in Windows, Windows being Microsoft product, the operating system is a much, much more, it was written by computer people making a bare bones attempt to try to make it for normal people. Apple, on the other hand, goes out of their way to make it elegantly simple for normal people. People who are not tech savvy. And the fact that my daughter can find her way around the phone and never have to ask me a question about using any of it shows that what a remarkable job and what a skill set Apple has in order to make a product that a non-tech, even a tech-hating person could really enjoy and really find it so good that they do the very thing that no child ever wants to do, which is tell their parents that they're right. And so I had a nice experience with that. She's loving her iPhone. She's downloading apps and doing all those things. So if anybody's listening that, you know, is afraid of the technology and stuff, rest assured that, you know, whether it's an Apple computer with their operating system or an Apple phone, you're going to find it to be very, very easy to manage your way through. It's not like Windows where you've got thousands of separate menus and things that you have to pile through to figure this out and that out. It really shows, truly, Apple has come back so strong with this in their operating system and their computers and their phones. They've come back so strong that it really shows how really poorly Microsoft, in spite of the fact that Microsoft is still very much the big kid on the block, how really poorly they designed an operating system when you use an operating system on the iPhone or on their app or on their Mac computers. So I'm just really more and more a fan of the company's very, very hard work and very, very high-level results that they've obtained in making computers so easy to use for people. So I would encourage people to take a look at that product, and their iPhones are down. And you know, obviously I don't work for Apple, but their iPhones are as low as $199 for a 8 or 16 gigabyte phone.
That's what I paid for mine.
Yeah, so you can pick it up for very little money, very comparable money to what you'd be paying for any other phone out there. So it's elegant. It works elegantly. I think you'd agree, Dwayne, that it's truly an elegant computer product. And elegant in computers were never. Those two words were never used in the past before.
And if you drop it, folks, it will crack the screen.
Do you have a? Do you use a? What do you call it?
Well, I do now.
The rubber thing. Yeah, I've got that.
I do now. Now that it's a little late, but you know, I live for lack of a better term. I live what I call a life of instant karma. And I know some people out there are going, oh, my God, he said karma. Okay, don't freak out. And when I say that I live a life of instant karma, what I mean is I got my iPhone, and all the stuff you just said, very true. I became incredibly enamored with it. Incredibly enamored. So enamored that my wife began to get a little bit annoyed, you know, because every time she'd ask me a question before I could even answer, she'd go, yep, let me guess, you got an app for that. So I'm trying to paint this picture here of how I became a little ultra obsessed with my new toy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so God in his infinite wisdom allowed me to get out of my truck and drop my iPhone and put this really ugly crack. I mean, it's kind of like what was the Disney movie where the witch looks in the mirror, in the mirror, you know, who's the most beautiful of all, and the window
right.
mirror cracks. Yeah, that's kind of what mine's like. So circumstances, events, whatever you want to call it, took the shiny off my new phone.
Okay.
I became much less obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It became more of a utilitarian tool, which I greatly enjoy. I mean, I listen to podcasts. I've got the Daily
mm-hmm.
Audio Bible. I've got Crash Course, and I've got so many. But it's been put in its place.
Okay. Well,
does any of that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. To me, and I'm sure to your listeners.
Well, I don't know if it does to my listeners or not, but the whole thing is like, you know, you got to do right by your fellow man or you'll pay down the road. But I call mine an instant karma situation. It's kind of like a drive-through thing, because if I screw you over this morning,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get mine before the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Not tomorrow, not next week, not in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
God, for whatever reason, seems to deal with me in an instantaneous manner. Which is why always try to be very polite and very respectful and think before I open my mouth. And so that is the existential story of Dwayne and his iPhone.
Okay, well, Dwayne, you know, we all like to hear about your karma issues.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that you can solve a lot of them with just a little rubber case that normally,
yes.
the way, when you buy the phone, they normally sell you that. They normally
the
say it's a good idea to have.
Man tried to make me buy one.
Okay, and you didn't. So you didn't. You don't actually. You really can't blame Dwayne anyone for this. You actually
right.
You turned the man down. He tried to sell you one, and they're just like, you know, $9 or whatever.
I said, oh no, I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to buy a better one for a cheaper price. And he goes,
right,
all right.
Just for people to understand, with regard to the iPhone, when you do have it, you will drop it at some point. But with the rubber case on it, it really makes a huge difference. The glass can't touch the ground because of that, and I've dropped mine on a number of occasions, both the older model and the new one. I've had no problems at all. So this is not a phone with some features. This is a computer that happens to have a phone in it. So, I mean, you have to treat it like you would any computer.
I sent you those pictures from my phone.
That's beautiful.
I took the pictures with my phone, and then I was getting ready to first I couldn't find my camera, and I was like, oh wait, I have a camera. So I took the pictures of my phone. Then I was looking for my cable to hook up to my computer to email you the pictures. And then I was like, oh, wait, I don't need that. And,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty clever, folks.
It is. I just want to mention for people that Dwayne did send me a picture of, first of all, Dwayne and I have never met in person, but we talk on the radio and we've been doing this for a number of years. But I, for the first time, have seen his video monitor, which is very large, very beautiful, very, very depthy color. I mean, even in the picture, it almost looks to me like it's a plasma monitor. I don't know if I'm right or not.
It's LCD. Plasma
it's
doesn't
LCD.
Work well
with
the internet and the computer, Windows operating, none of that, yeah.
Anyway, it was beautiful. It was a very good-looking monitor.
I had to do that one shot with the window so that...
Mm-hmm.
It would, because I've sent other people a picture and they're like, well, it just looks like a monitor. There had to be I had to put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, and you did it.
If you hadn't seen the window, we all know what the average size window looks like in a house.
Right.
So without that window to add some perspective to the picture, it could have been a 19-inch monitor.
Right. No, it's a big monitor and, very impressive. Very nice size. For people to know this, just, you know, we don't talk about computer equipment very much here, and maybe just for a quick second here, I've been trading for 19 years, and just recently upgraded to a 20 or 21-inch monitor for the first time, only because my eye was used to the smaller one, but I really have found that a bigger monitor is useful. Some people trade with multiple monitors, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're trading in multiple markets. It's a good idea to keep an eye on the markets that you're using. I still trade with one monitor, but The setup that you have isn't so important. What is important is that you have quick access to know what is happening in a particular market that you're trading. Some people specialize in one, some people can trade in multiple markets. And I myself trade in a couple of markets. So it's not a bad idea to have screens. If you don't have two actual monitors to set up your larger single screen with split pictures so that you can have two markets on one screen, and you can very quickly watch and see right in front of you what's happening. Some of these monitors that are 21 and bigger, they don't cost very much money. You can pick them up for $279 and get 21-inch, 24-inch monitor, which is just an amazing price. You can do a lot with that monitor and your charting software. You don't necessarily need to go to two and more complex types of setups. And a suggestion for people, people tend to do this, I do it too. You know, you get into something, and maybe you're new to trading, and you want to get all the very best equipment, and you want everything, and you go dive in head over heels over that. It's usually not a good idea to do that. It's good to go just middle road, get some ordinary equipment, see if this is something that works for you before you spend too much money on setting up the perfect setup and all that stuff. I've been down the road, that road myself, where I spent an enormous amount of money early on. And I realized because I couldn't trade early on and I lost money and, you know, it was just, it was a mess. So, it's probably a better idea just to go middle road and buy some decent equipment and see if trading is something that works for you and if you can continue to do it, because there's a lot of, it's not a job with a paycheck. It has a paycheck, but the paycheck doesn't come on a weekly basis. It's different. And you have to be willing to deal with it, sort of like a business owner thinks in his own business. A business owner doesn't take a paycheck most of the time either. Basically, he takes money out at the end of the month or some end of the period, and that is his paycheck. But he doesn't get paid each week unless he's doing that for some tax purpose. But a business owner has to, you have to think more like a business owner to trade than you do as an employee. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, keep that in mind. As we were talking, just real briefly here, the soybean market did decline and did complete we exited our ordinary exit from shorting it at 36 down at 31. They're trading at 30 right now. So again, the market is an easy read for the most part, much easier than the S&P is, and we're holding for an aggressive exit in that potentially.
What month of the beans price are you trading now?
We're trading in November beans.
And that is?
And that's X. X is November.
X-ray.
And that's true for all systems, but the actual term that they use, or the you know, S for us in my system, is going to be different than yours, but the X will always stand for November. You may have to call your provider if you don't know what.
Yeah, and in TradeStation, we can pull up the symbol. It's simply SX.
Okay.
The last time I asked you and I pulled it up, it was SK. So whatever month that was.
K is May.
Okay, so it's been that long since I asked you. So SX. Now, it's delayed data on my charting platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because since they broke them up, they just nickel and dime you. But, I mean, obviously, if it was something I was actively going to be trading, which I don't at the moment,
mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
traded soybeans a few times. But I just never got into it like you did.
Yeah.
But every time you bring it up, it's like, note to self, pull up a soybean chart, figure out what this guy's talking about. He's always saying it's easier to read.
It is.
Lord knows we all are looking for something easier in life.
Yeah, soybeans are easier to read.
I think one of the things that scared me off, David, is I could never figure out that opening range. When that market opens in the morning, it's
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, we all know that the S&P, you know, will have a lot mm-hmm. of action at the open. But I've learned how to wrap my brain around that initial
mm-hmm.
flurry of action on the S&P.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on the beans. It
seems
to run without rhyme or reason, and I can't get a handle on it.
Well,
and that's why I quit looking at it.
Okay, the beans will run further than the S&P will run, because the beans don't have 500 various in components in it telling it one thing and another as the S&P does. So you're going to see some different action, but that difference in action also allows you, at least for me, and I don't think it's just me, I think if we talk about it sometime a little bit more, I think I could point out specifically some of the things that I like about beans that make them easy to read. One of the things that I do for people who want to take a look at beans, and we do this in the S&P as well, but it's not a bad idea, it's just simply wait for the beans to get to an important critical price level. Simply look at the chart and do your best work. It doesn't have to be perfect and precise for the market to get to some level of importance where there would be, as an example, resistance. And wait for the market to give you a little confirmation that the resistance is actually beginning to operate, and you can sell short against that resistance and then go down to a smaller time frame chart and find where the support would be against that larger resistance and simply trade down to that support. It might be 3 to 5 cents away. That's worth 3 to 5 points, or it's the same as 3 to 5 points in a large or in the S&P E-mini contract. So I can repeat what I just said again, is you would be looking at a larger time frame, having the market rally, as an example, to an important resistance level, and then you would look to buy that back, or at least exit some of your positions, at a smaller time frames, shorter time frame, that means, support level that was created on the way up. So you're trying to simply just get a small amount of money, a reasonable trade, 3 to 5 cents out of the market, just like what we did this morning. If a person wanted to, you could look at the soybean chart right now. This is, again, is November soybeans. And you could take a look and see that the market, you know, yes, it's been a very quiet market here, but we advanced. And this morning they made a test of 1036. We were looking for 1037 to 38. They weren't able to get there. And the market then started to decline. And we felt that if the market got down to about 30 to 31, that would be a good area to exit, a good minor support level for the market to come down to as a target. And the market has come down to that minor support level and now is rallying off it. The market made a swing low of 29 and then now has advanced. We never try to get all the little pennies to an exact point. You know, if we think, you know, 29 is the number, we may be getting out at 31 or something like that, because I don't want to make the market and force a market, especially one that is very quiet, to try to go hit all of its natural levels. So now it's advancing off of that. It reached that target, and that shows that that was indeed a good place to exit the market. It's now back up at 33, and of course we place a protective stop for the remainder of our aggressive position.
What exact price do you show right now?
Let me switch back to it. Just as I was saying that, I switched out of it, so give me just a second here. I'm showing 1033.5 right now, and
okay.
You are delayed. I'm not.
Oh, and for those listening, I said SX was the symbol. If you're using TradeStation to chart, it's SX09. That brings it up.
Okay.
And boy, what a great example of my point this morning, the opening bar. It ran from, it had a low of 1014 and a high of 1026. So that in 5 minutes, this market ran 12 cents.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the big move you're saying that the S&P normally does. That's your big first hour and all that. And
that was just
again,
5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it does. It can move very quickly. Listen, that's one of the advantages of the market, is it will do in 5 minutes what the S&P will take many, many 5 minute bars to do often. So there's a lot more, it's a cohesive price movement. It's very fast. It gets done quickly, and you get paid much quicker. So there's a lot of little things as a trader that you pick up that you might not like about one market that another market actually solves that for you. One of those things is that this market can do a lot of damage in 5 minutes. The S&P can too, but it's not as often. The S&P doesn't do that as often as the soybeans do it routinely. And that's actually one of the pieces that that's one of the things we like about that market. We can take another day if you'd like to. We can talk more about what's good about that market, how we see it differently. I really don't think there's anything special in what I'm doing with it. Honestly, I believe that anybody who looks at it for a while will find that it's an easier market to read overall. Even though you may have had trouble with it, I think it maybe even with me helping point out what those easy things are, maybe that'll help people.
I'm seeing these incredibly huge 5 minute bars.
Yes.
And it's not just at the open. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes in, there's a 10 cent 5 minute bar. That's
mm-hmm.
10 points in the S&P.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's a beautiful thing. That means the market, even in a quiet
now,
day.
I'm sitting here going, that's a scary thing. David's like, oh, that's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. All you have to do is listen. Yes, you can lose money in the markets, and I am a master of losing money. I perfected it many years ago. Okay, I know how to do it in the markets, and you can lose it easily in any market, not only just the soybean market. But the fact is that when you have the position right, and you've bought at an important support level and the market is starting to move, you can be paid much quicker than having to wait 5 or 7 or 10 5-minute bars. This will get it all done in 1 5-minute bar. And that's one of the nice things about the market, is that you're not in it for that long. It pays off well when you're correct. And by the way, once you have reached the status of becoming a master of losing money, you have taken the first step of becoming a master of making money. So, but you have to go through that first step of being a master of losing it and understanding how many different ways and how many different things can happen that can actually make you lose money. And it, the list is fairly long. It's surprising. Outside of your own issues, I remember many years ago, I'm just going to tell a very brief story, but I was trading in some size when I first started like an idiot, and the market had a very big move, and I could not get through to my broker. So all the phones were tied up, and back then, this is in the early 90s, they didn't have a big enough phone system. So the position, which was already bad, got 10 times worse, and I had a 5-figure loss in that one trade. Because I couldn't get through to the broker. And I complained to them about it, and they wanted to take it to arbitration and this and that because they didn't have the phone system. Ultimately, the loss stood. I never went to arbitration. I just, you know, wrote it off.
Right.
But the point is that there's many different things that can go wrong in the market, in trading in the markets. That's what a better way of saying it. Other than, so you have to kind of become a master of all the things that can go wrong, figure out, get all that into your head, figure out the ways around it, and then you can start mastering making money. But there's a lot of different ways to lose money, and you have to understand that not all of them are going to come from your own actions. Some of them are, like I said, the phone system. I've had that on a number of occasions. We could have a whole talk show, Duane, about trading stories. You know, what an idea. Things that have happened in the markets to you that were just completely unbelievable. One of which was, and I'll just tell this briefly, was that I had for many, many years traded in options, and I was what's called a naked option writer. I was writing, selling calls and puts. And without going into the details of what that means for people that might be new, let's just say that I had had a trade that had gone surprisingly, I had gotten a fill that was surprisingly good. You know what your fill should be, and the fill was like $1.50 more than it should be in my favor. Mm-hmm. And that $1.50 actually made the trade a winning trade. I was actually taking it off at a break even or a small loss. Mm-hmm. And so later, the next day, the floor called. Not the actual floor, but the broker called and said, the broker that did that trade with you, the floor guy, wants to bust that trade. And it had such a sound of authority to it, it sounded like, oh, okay, well, I guess I should give him his money back. That's what bust the trade means. It means that you're supposed to give your money back to him. And so she said, so we're just calling you to let him know that he wants to bust that trade. And I thought to myself,
I've never heard that term before.
Busting a trade is a floor broker term or floor trader term, which means that two brokers, let's say I do a trade with you on the floor, and for some reason, or I'm off the floor, and you do a trade with me, and for some reason, we both come to the agreement that we're going to reverse the trade. We can do that. Hmm. You can actually reverse the trade with the guy. And it happens from time to time. Sometimes again, that's what I'm saying, there's so many things that can happen. But what happened here was the floor guy doesn't know who I am. I don't know who he is. But because he did his books, he found out that he paid me $1.50 on 10 options more than he should have, and that I should have broken even on that trade where my entry was as to where I got out, or even a small loss, but instead I made $1.50. And so he was calling up to what the right thing that he was supposed to be doing was to ask me, would you be willing to bust that trade?
Okay.
But instead the broker called up with a lot of authority saying, the floor broker is going to bust that trade. And I thought about it and I realized, you know what? I never get to call him when I have a bad trade
and
talk with a great authority and say I'm going to bust that trade. And I said to her, you know what, I don't think he has the right to bust that trade. You already booked it, it's already on my statement, and nobody's asking me, you're telling me he's going to bust that trade, and I'm telling you that unless I have the right to bust trades with him in the reverse, that the trade stands. And the trade did stand. And that's just one story of how, if I would have said yes to that, I would have been out $1.50 times 10 contracts. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, there's just so many ways to lose money in the market that you do have to become a master at the loss side, the losing side, not only your own actions, but whatever other things happen before you can really start mastering the upside. Because if you trade long enough, you're going to see everything that I've seen and more.
And that all comes from the risk management side of the equation?
The risk management side of the equation. You literally make money by managing risk, just like an insurance company does. You know, I'll say it one more time. When you get in a car accident, they come out to manage their risk. To you, they're coming out to tell you how much they're going to pay you for your bumper, but in reality, that guy's coming out to manage the risk. That's what he's there for, to minimize their loss. And that's how you should think about your trading. Losses are minimizing your risk. You're the insurance guy coming out to make sure that you don't spend too much on that losing trade. Don't think in terms of a losing trade, meaning that you are wrong or you're a bad trader or you're an idiot. You're not. It's part of trading, obviously, to sometimes have to take a loss because any number of things can happen. But you have to manage that loss. If you don't manage that loss, you will not make it in trading. It's just that simple. You must learn to manage the downside. And that management is not only how you make money, it's how you protect profits that you already made. So that's what the insurance company is doing. They've taken in a great number of premiums, and they're protecting the downside. They're not going to let too much of that premium that they took in go away. They're going to minimize that loss. That's why your car never looks right after it's been in an accident, and they fix it for you, because they're not willing to pay enough to get it right. I'm kind of half-joking. Anyway, I think that's about it, Dwayne, for today. I think we've gotten the market. The S&P is still down here testing this the 990 level, which is not actually a level listed in our panel, but 992 is. And if we stay above here, we're looking into tomorrow for the market to get up to 998 as a natural upside target. So I hope that's of use to people. And I will read every little email that you sent to me. I wanted to take a look at it afterwards. And then I'm hoping you and I can talk after the show again at some point here.
Yeah,
well.
You know, whenever whenever you're free.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm signing off after you and I finish. So anytime you want to call is fine. I just want to remind everyone that I'm going to post on the blog tonight or this afternoon what David and I were discussing about the risk management. It's so true, and it's so funny, and I know you'll enjoy it, so you'll want to read that tonight. In the meantime, there are a couple of articles that I posted last night that I encourage everyone to read. One is about the Fed buying up all the treasuries at the auction last week, but if you actually go through, click through and read the whole thing, the way the Fed didn't just come out and buy it in the open. They kind of hit it through some independent brokers, and it's just really a little frightening if you read it, so that's up to you. But there's another one called Beautiful Lies, and it has to do with trading, and I think anyone involved in trading should read that. And it'll direct you to a book that's out, which I'm going to either order online or go to the bookstore. It sounds like something I want to read, but it has to do with trading, and it's called Beautiful Lies.
Oh, I like the title. That's beautiful.
With that, I'll leave you and talk to you tomorrow.
Dwayne, pleasure being on the show as always. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow, and we'll see how these things work out.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
Bye-bye. All right, that's my cue to pack up and go. Let's take a quick look. Okay, we had the short at 994, and we talked about the potential to go to 985 as a trend day down. A heads up that we are, in fact, going to maybe get into that 85 area would be a break of 990. Other than that, I mean, if you're in at 994, maybe you just took your profits down around 991. Maybe you didn't want to ride out this retracement. But if you're looking for a re-entry or you missed that entry, if we get a break of 990, then that will probably put you in a position. A break and hold of 990 would then put you in a position to potentially see 985. So with that, take good care. Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are and wherever you are, God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
I am Mr. Rejoice, celebrate, raise our hands, show my Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.